All right, we're good.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Martin Heft here from OPM. The call our Connecticut Interagency Drought Work Group meeting to order at 2:02 p.m. on September 3rd. Just as a matter of reference for everyone, we do have a couple of guests that have joined us, so I'm just going to ask them to identify themselves. First, Clark from USDA. Clark.
Thank you, Martin, and thank you, everyone, for including me today. My name is Clark Chapin, and I'm the State Executive Director for USDA's Farm Service Agency here in Connecticut. The Farm Service Agency, if you don't know, provides financial assistance to farmers in times of disaster and other times where we may be needed. I appreciate the opportunity to listen in today because, obviously, we're concerned with droughts as well at USDA's Farm Service Agency. We constantly monitor the U.S. Drought Monitor, which is based out of the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. And depending on what phase we're in and how long we're in that phase, it actually triggers some of our programs to begin to make payments. So I'm very interested in listening in today and appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you very much. And Joe from National Weather Service, you want to just introduce yourself?
Sure, yeah. Joe Delicarpini, National Weather Service, Boston. I work with Nicole Belk. I'm just sitting in. I know Britt is providing the briefing today, but I'm here to answer any questions or help out as needed. Thank you.
Great. Thank you both. With that, we're going to move on to item two on the agenda, which is the approval of minutes from our August 20th meeting. If I could get a motion to that effect.
So, Martin, just one change that was suggested. Sure. It was just a technical change to clarify Southington and New Britain's water, their drought status relative to Yukon's. I think it was down in... I can't find it right now, but it was just simply a clarification that was recommended.
Okay, and you guys have that for where the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but if we can get... Okay, so let's get a motion for that. So if we can get a motion for approval of the minutes, then we can do any corrections.
Doug Hoskins, motions for approval.
Thank you. Can we get a second?
Linda King, Corbin from Puro, second.
Thank you, Linda. Okay, so we have motion and a second for approval of minutes. We have one just clarification there with that Eric had mentioned. Is there anything else in the minutes that anyone has a correction or on? Okay. Hearing none. For all those, is there anyone opposed to the minutes as corrected? Okay. Hearing none, then we will consider the minutes to be approved for August 20th. Okay. Item three, review of state actions taken since 8/20 decision to declare stage two drought. As everyone's aware and was sent out, after our last meeting, we did declare the northern counties into stage two. Press release went out from the Office of Policy and Management on behalf of the governor's office. For that, my thanks to Eric and Bruce, who helped me go through some of the public relations, getting that out to the media, and some of the interviews that were done, coverage on that. So that piece was all done in compliance with our stage two implementation recommendations for that. Not sure, Eric or Bruce, if you have anything else you want to add to that line.
I don't have anything to add, Martin, but I would like to know who's sharing their screen right now.
Well, it looks like National Weather Service.
No, that's just the presentation on there. Oh, but somebody... has their screen being shared. I don't know who, but you might want to unshare it for now. And I'm actually not sure how to, there we go.
There we go.
Okay, great.
Okay. So that's kind of the update on number three. You know, as we said, you know, that information all went out, everything, you know, was handled for that. So then the next step, there's no other comments on that part. Item number four, current conditions and areas of improvement. So agency updates and review the summary table for that. I know, Eric, you sent out information a little bit later or earlier today on that, whether or not people have had a chance to look through that. Not sure if there are certain pieces you wanted to call up, Eric, on that to show or.
Yeah, I think we do have a few presentations that are built into that.
Okay.
So if we could just bring that up and maybe go through it and those areas that agencies would like to comment on or make a presentation on, we can stop there and go through those. So
can
we actually start with, let me just pull it up. Here, I'm having trouble.
Eric, while you're pulling that up, this is Doug Hoskins. Back to the previous agenda item. You were talking about the release. I just want to personally say that I thought it was a great job on the release. And I think you listened to the interagency work group members and what comments we had on that. So good job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
Team effort,
that's
everybody.
Definitely a team effort.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the first, so if everyone pulls up the conditions report, I'll just share mine for now. The conditions report that was sent out about 45 minutes ago. The first page is really the updated stage two trigger summary by, you know, in terms of where we stand on the stage two triggers by county, based on the information, based on the reports that had come in. Now, we can save that and talk about it at the end, or Martin, I don't know if we want to save that for the end and go through presentations first.
Eric, just because it's right there on the top, and I think it would be good, quick, is, you know, can you maybe just highlight where the changes were from 2 weeks ago, possibly?
Right, so.
You know, if there's major changes, and then we can get into, I think, the reports, just so that way we kind of have a general overview and kind of know where we're going to be looking at.
Yeah, I the major changes really were we saw, you know, in terms of these soil moisture indicators, the veggie dry, the crop moisture, the Palmer drought. Well, Palmer drought and crop moisture were already pretty much there for the entire state except for Litchfield. They did catch up in Litchfield County to make the stage two trigger. The veggie dry, which had only been marginal for some of a couple counties as of the last meeting, has really as of the latest report on August 30th, the veggie dry indicator has really gone somewhat off the charts in a couple of the counties, in particular Litchfield and New London, and then really caught up in the rest of the counties to meet that stage two criteria. I'll wait for DPH to comment on reservoirs because it's, you know, I did look at the table that came in. I didn't have too much time because it didn't come in until late this morning, but it does appear that we're seeing some serious declines now in the Fairfield County area, surprisingly enough, where the other indicators say conditions are good. And then a couple areas in the middle part of the state in the Connecticut River Valley. So I'll wait for DPH to chime in on that. These long-term indicators of precipitation, groundwater, and stream flow continue to decline. Precipitation, it's interestingly enough, we've no longer met the stage two trigger in several of our counties, but they do meet stage three in some cases. And so I don't have a separate chart for stage three at this time, but it's worth noting that. And we can talk more about that when Britt gives her presentation.
Great. Thanks, Eric.
So Britt, do you want to, take the steering wheel and load up your own presentation, or do you want me to drive through this? Because I have everyone's together in here, but you're more than welcome to drive your own presentation if you want.
It doesn't matter to me. I don't have any fancy animations. Nothing's going to blink or anything, so you can go through your slides is fine.
Sure. Okay.
And that, so I think the way you put it together, Nicole's chart is first, and then there's a presentation, and then there's sort of a text write-up, which is essentially the presentation in written-up form. So
right.
If you can get to the start of the slide deck, which is, I think, like six slides, it says NWS conditions update.
Right. And just while I have it here, first, Britt, going back to my prior comment about precipitation, you can see here, for example, a county like Middlesex, we've now caught up a little bit on our two-month rolling average of percent of normal for July and August, but you go back looking 3 months now for the period June through August, and we're getting about below that 65% threshold there. So interestingly enough, a couple counties that are no longer meeting stage two are still meeting the stage three criteria. So that's an interesting phenomenon that we'll have to keep exploring as we go through this. But I'll turn it over to you now, Britt. You want me to scroll down to right about, you want me to start off here in the presentation?
Wherever it says NWS conditions update, I think it's the
right,
chart. I'm still seeing the chart on my screen, but I just have a couple of slides on the,
It looks as though we lost the connection to my shit. Let me try resharing that. There we go.
Thinking about it. There we go. Yeah. So, this was a pretty tight turnaround. Nicole worked really hard yesterday getting all the numbers together because we were just getting our end of month reports in. But you can see here, the left is the amount of rainfall that we got across the state for the month of August. And then on the right is the departure from normal. So you can see we got kind of sideswiped by Isaias in early August in Litchfield County. And so that's sort of the bulk of that, like, 5-plus inch area that you see there. And then the rest of the state, hit or miss type stuff. And with the, as you can see, like, the southeast part, New London, especially the lowest amount of rainfall for the month. And so that all kind of is borne out. I think you were talking about this on the charts. I think this is really the meat of, if you go to the next slide.
Sure.
Sort of the meat of what we were talking about, right? So in yellow, I don't know that these have a color associated with them, but we just sort of arbitrarily assigned stage two this yellow and stage three this orange. But actually based on, if you look at the numbers through the end of July, like you said, Litchfield, Tolland, and Middlesex counties met the stage two criteria at the end of July, but no longer do this round. And when you look at stage three, Litchfield also dropped off the list, as you can probably guess from that rainfall map. He dropped off the three-month list as well.
Just say next when you're ready for next, Britt, so I know.
Sure. I didn't know if you wanted to discuss it further while we were on that slide, if there was any other questions. This seems like the heart of the discussion of this. So.
Sure. Martin, I'll throw that to you if you want to just go through the presentation and then do questions, or you just want to make
If someone has a question as we're going through, so we don't have to kind of backtrack.
Right.
On it, I think that's fine. Just, announce, who you are. And, ask the question on it, if you do have a question on a particular, piece here.
So in addition to the, a good portion of the state being, especially in the eastern and southeastern half of the state being below normal rainfall, we also had a very, following on the heels of a very hot July, we also had a fairly hot August. You can see some of the records getting tied, though I was talking to the Norfolk Co-op Observer via email today, maybe yesterday, and he said, actually, I think we might be missing some data from our records. He said it was actually, according to his records, the 8th hottest August. And the July, I think, was the hottest month that he's had on record since 1932. So pretty significant heat and dryness. Next. And this is just sort of a supplement. I know Doug will probably talk about the near term. So this is just sort of the outlook. The outlook for the 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 days is continued above normal temperatures. But the good news is that we actually see on the left, we're nudging into above normal precipitation. So that could help us. In fact, the Norfolk co-op said that he got 1.45 inches on the first day of September. So that's already looking promising. Next, I think we'll go to the even slightly longer outlook. And so that one hasn't been updated quite as recently, but that one gets into where there's really no good signal whether it's going to be above, below, or normal temperatures or precipitation. That's what that equal chance means. It means 33% chance of above normal, 33% chance of normal, 33% chance of below normal. So flip a three-sided coin, I guess. And then the furthest outlook for 3 months, again, equal chance for that precipitation outlook and continued above normal temperatures. So that's about the end of it. The rest of this is just sort of the text version of that report if folks prefer to read it to the graphics. And I think in that text I did list which counties we were just talking about no longer meet the criteria, the ones that met the criteria last month and don't meet the criteria this month for our reference.
And I want to extend our appreciation for you and Nicole taking the time to not only prepare the presentations, but the text reports and the county-by-county analyses. That is extremely helpful to our work here.
No problem. I will pass that along to Nicole. She is the brains behind that county rainfall assessment. She does an awesome job with that.
Right. And I did ask Nicole if she would be willing, and you, Brett, if you guys would be willing to give a presentation on that at a future meeting when time allows on how those calculations are actually derived. Because I know there's a lot that goes into those, and not everyone on the group may be familiar.
And I think Nicole did sort of a first draft at what she does that we also put in this text right up here. I think if you scroll down just a smidge. Right below the sort of we can refine that and certainly still provide a presentation at a future meeting, but that's sort of a first cut at a description of what goes into it.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brett. Eric, next.
It looks like the next on the list is my report from Doug Glowacki that he submitted yesterday on the outlook. I know Britt kind of covered this a little bit, but if you have anything to add, Doug, on what you're looking for in the coming 2 weeks, feel free to chime in.
Please say rain.
Very quickly, the big rainmaker is expected next week. It's going to be a deep trough over the East Coast, and you can see it on the map below. East of the Mississippi, they're getting quite a bit of rain. Out in western United States, they're hardly getting any. It's not shown on this particular map. And this is still going back and forth. We'll see as we get closer to the event what actually does happen. There's also a chance that something tropical may form in the Bahamas or the Caribbean and try to run up the coast. That was in some earlier computer models, but has since disappeared. But I've seen that come back again as we get closer to the event. So we'll keep an eye on it. But right now, looks like an inch and a half to about 3 inches of rain over the next 2 weeks, with most of it falling late next week. And a little bit of it fell this morning. That was in yesterday's plot, as a matter of fact. Today's plot is a little drier because it doesn't include the overnight rainfall. So that's the forecast for the next 2 weeks at this time.
Okay, great. Next is the presentation from John Mullaney from USGS, And I know Tim Sargent, I think, may be on as well. I think I may have seen his name. If one of you would like to speak to that.
Yeah, sure. This is John Mullaney.
Do you want to take over, John, or do you want to have me keep going?
No, I don't. Well, you know, I have one minor change to mine, so maybe I should pull up my version really quick and share it.
Sure.
Okay. Just a second, and I will share my screen. Working on it here. Okay. Hopefully in a second you'll see it. The same thing that you were looking at a second ago. Just let me know when you see it. Anything yet?
Yeah, I think we see it.
I believe we see it, yes.
Okay. So I just started in by kind of looking at our current conditions as of yesterday. So, you know, some of this, you know, with some of the recent precip we've had, there's some, as you can see, that some of our stream flows are up into the normal range, at least based on some rainfall that we've just gotten. So this is kind of what it looks like on the daily sort of statistic level. So, you know, some of our flows are up in certain parts of the state, at least for the short term. The long-term sort of stream flow index for the state that we have on our USGS website, kind of this is sort of an average index, but showing that we're pretty much July and August below normal. So, and then, you know, we could probably go back to June as well. So we're probably I think there was a short time period maybe in June where it popped up. I can't remember, but we're pretty much overall statewide on average anyway, below normal for those 3 months. 7-day stream flows just kind of gives you a little bit longer time window, with the exception of sort of the central coastal area and sort of Fairfield County, southwest corner of the state. Kind of in the normal range, and everything else in some means of below normal for the last week. For we get into our groundwater sites now, this is going back to the end of August. Our groundwater sites are based on the groundwater measurement closest to the 25th of the month. A lot of these are made sometime near the end of the month, but if we have a continuous record site, it's the one that is on the 25th. If there's more than one from a one of our sites where we do a measurement every month, we pick the one closest to the 25th. It's a little hard to see. I'm going to work on the colors on this application that I built because for some reason on this color scale, the green kind of either that or I need a different background map because there's a bunch of these green ones you can't see where we have three consecutive months below normal. But when you actually tally this up, you know, I think Eric captured this in the index that he showed at the beginning. I had one change. We were kind of in a crunch to pull this data in as well because a lot of this groundwater data just came in like a day or so before. So I still had a couple of data issues. The one change I have after looking at it after yesterday was the New Haven. This one is a 1 with a 7.7%. So I don't know if you want to make note of that or if you want me to send another copy, let me know and I'll update it. So, you know, it looks like the areas we have Windham County, Middlesex County, Litchfield County, probably Hartford County. It's a little tricky because what we're saying in a way is that, you know, are all these wells indicative of what's going on in that whole county? That may or may not be the case, but I think it's one way that we can at least try to get a handle on getting if you have to assign different drought conditions to the various regions. I think this helps a little bit. So I think you had your index up there and you had flagged these sort of whether they were kind of really obvious or kind of borderline.
Yeah.
Or not at all, right?
Right. Thanks for bringing that up, John, because I forgot to mention that when we were doing the overview of the table. It really is sort of a judgment call on a lot of these things. I mean, some counties have a lot of representation in terms of the number of wells. Other counties have very few wells to go by. And each well is unique in terms of its, you know.
Right. We have different things going on in different aquifers and possibly different places in the groundwater flow system. So, you know, we typically will see greater fluctuations in our hilltop wells in a glacial till setting versus in a valley bottom setting and in the floodplain near a stream, you know, where you have smaller fluctuations typically. So, you know, so there's a lot of things going on, and keep in mind that some of the wells that we have are in clusters by a particular watershed where we've tried to look at those different things. So the stream flow one is a little bit more straightforward. We've got quite a few streams. You know, it's kind of interesting. I was looking at our drought criteria, and we had a lot of streams that hit 3 months below normal, but we don't really have a criteria for three consecutive months below normal. So we wait, same with the groundwater. We're kind of waiting to, I should double back to the groundwater one, because I just wanted to mention that I did check for any that were 4 months below normal. And I think I had only three wells statewide that were 4 months below normal. So it wasn't worth pulling those up as a separate category yet. Here we don't have any stream flow sites that were four consecutive months below normal, but we do have a lot that were three. So, and that's a change from last month. We have certain areas like Fairfield County seems to be the closest to normal, with some of these areas having, you know, no consecutive months below normal. So that we look at the summary here, and I think I wanted to look at on your index, you had Fairfield County flagged, I think, as a red, where it's probably the lowest. So that I noticed that on your matrix there.
Yes, good catch, John. That should be a green.
Right. So the ones that really jump out are, you know, Hartford, possibly Litchfield, possibly New Haven County. Windham's kind of interesting. When you look at the map, a lot of this seems to be up here in the Quinnebaug Valley, whereas the Shetucket River Valley here, you know, which kind of crosses between Tolland and Windham, you know, those stream flows are, this is only really their first month that they've been below normal. So I hope that helps. That's what I have for today. And we'll take some questions later if you have.
And John, I'll just a comment, I guess, with the stream flow, it's another challenge with stream gauges is that a lot of the gauges are right below outfalls for dam releases and so forth. So a lot of times, you know, it depends on the release schedule, how much water is being released, that can influence, you know, flows for certain areas. So
yeah, I think
it all averages out over the month period, but for short-term analyses,
it shows up in places like the Farmington River, right here, where you see these sort of dry ones at the downstream end of the basin, you know, something along those lines maybe. And that might be true here down at, I believe this is Quinnebaug River at Jewett City. So there is some, you know, there's some control there as well. So yeah, those are the things to consider. I'm not really, one of the things we might think about down the road with some of these would be to, you know, whether we want to make a subset of gauges that we feel are more sort of representative of ambient conditions. Basically, I'm throwing everything into the mix here just so we can kind of look at them. But that's why I think in our work group here that we have kind of judgment on a lot of these things, because you have to take some of these things into account, that not all stream gauges are equal, or they may be representing different things. Or for instance, one near the Connecticut state line is probably representing a watershed that's upstream. However, we're probably concerned at the point of use where that water is and how much water is in the stream at the location that we're monitoring. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Doug Hoskins. I know that gauge in Unionville and the Farmingtons probably influenced a lot by golf courses taking water out upstream, and also the water company there.
Right. Yeah. Unionville Water. There's a lot of groundwater. You can have groundwater withdrawals near the streams as well. Right.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'll stop sharing my screen.
Thanks again. Eric, do you have, thank you again. Eric, do you have other presentations on the chart we got to go back to?
I do. And, okay. And just before we do, I think I'll just put up this table here again. So I did correct. There was an error that this cell right here was highlighted in the pink, and it should have been green with the 7.10. But you know, to John's point, I did sort of just indicate. I used my judgment and said, well, the areas that have, you know, 50% or greater wells or stream gauges below normal, or that meet the threshold, I highlighted in pink. The ones that were, you know, 40% or less, this one actually should be more of the olive. The ones that were below 40%, you know, really I highlighted in green. And then, you know, the 40 to 50 to 60%, you know, the middle of the road, if you will, I put that olive in there just to show that, you know, it's borderline. It's up to interpretation, and it really is an interpretation across the board. It's difficult to pick any number of wells or stream gauges that need to be below normal before that trigger is met for a particular region.
Right.
But certainly we can have more conversation on that if needed.
I was going to interrupt for 1 second and say, while you're in there on New Haven, change that one, I think it was, to 7.7. Let me just verify I'm just going to verify on my screen, my own screen, that was the number, because I left myself a sticky note. 7.7.
And I'll send out a revision of this with those corrections after the meeting today. But okay, I'll stop sharing this, and we'll go back to the overview packet. Okay, so we left off with John's presentation. Thank you very much, John, for that presentation, as always. And the next one on the list is the Department of Agriculture's overview of soil conditions. And I'll let Steve Anderson, if he's on the line, take that one.
Eric, I'm going to share mine, too. I had one slight revision in here.
Sure.
Didn't come up. I don't see you.
We're seeing your desktop, Steve. So I think you shared your desktop by accident.
No, it's up there.
There it is.
There you go. Okay, better? Okay.
Just maximize it. There you go.
All right. So I just kind of indicated in here comparing to, last week versus this week, and kind of showing the trend we're on. Little bit of improvement in the Palmer drought. You can see there the numbers that are underneath. Northwest went to 2.9 on the index, and you know everything went down just a little bit. Very slight, but it's there. The precipitation needed to end drought. I know we don't put a lot of stock in this, but a little bit of improvement in a couple areas there as well. The other one, the moisture indices as well, the crop moisture improved. Entire state now shows abnormally dry, where last week was excessively dry. Coastal and abnormally coastal was shown as abnormally dry. The topsoil moisture, not really much of a change. Still showing 32% of the state as short or very short moisture in the top 6 inches. The topsoil moisture, when compared to a 5-year mean, shows 32%, which is the same number above, but the 5-year mean is 40, so we're showing up as wetter than the 5-year mean right now, which again, I don't think that's a huge improvement. It just shows that when compared to the 5-year mean, we're a little wetter. Veg dry, I said it shows a little bit of improvement only because the number I kind of been looking at is the percent of land mass where we're reporting near normal conditions. And that did move up a little bit. And so I kind of said it was improvement. And I know when we go down and we take a look at the pictures, we don't see that we don't see the degradation actually happened last week, really, that Eric was talking about, and it kind of continues on. But that slight improvement, you can kind of see it in the pictures. Next one is the drought monitor, and I'll show you that one as well. It's just they just put up an updated version of that. That one is had a slight uptick in the percent of land area with no drought this week. Went from 12.7 up to 13.4. And the land area now shown as being in severe drought, on the other hand, has increased from 24.8 to 32.29. So that's kind of the downside of that one. Crop progress, not really much to say on that one. That report showed really no significant change regionally. Still showing, regionally 52% adequate moisture in topsoil and 55% adequate in subsoil. So I'm just going to run through a couple of the pictures. I'll zoom in a little bit. This is the Palmer drought one, actually, and you probably go through these on your desktop. I know Eric has sent this out to everybody, so you can look at it a little closer, but these just basically go through what I was talking about with the topsoil moisture and your Palmer drought. And here are the important ones. I kind of been keeping this veg dry, this drought response index, keeping this thing going for the last few weeks. And this is as far back as, back as far as about a month ago, August 9th. And you can see that one there at the top. And then I can show you this. The big change came between August 16th and August 23rd, where we picked up a lot of those reds there, especially in the southeast portion of the state. And then you can see, it's very, very slight change in it. But I think that's kind of where I was coming from when I said there was a slight improvement there in that one. Next one, the drought monitor. Again, here's one from about a month ago showing where we were. And then I can show you, it was last week where we started to pick up more of those northern counties. And then this week, it got a little worse, actually. We started to pick up some area in the southeast part of the state. So I guess with that, if there's no questions, I'll stop sharing my screen if I can do that. There we go.
Okay. Great, Steve. Thank you very much.
Yep.
I'm going to reshare mine again. Go back here. All right. And I'm assuming there's no questions for Steve. Otherwise, people would chime in. Can keep on going. DEP, you're next on the list. Would anyone from DEP like to chime in on updates for fire danger, fisheries, water issues?
Yeah, this is Doug. I think I just noticed it now, but the email you have in your report is outdated from August 19th.
Yes, you are correct. I should see here.
But
I thought I corrected that, but you're right, Doug.
No problem. I can get started. So Helene isn't here from forestry, and she just gave me an updated report via the team's chat, which will change what she had in the memo. So fire danger is now low, and ground fire is still a concern for any fires that do start. And then she qualifies that by saying, though, she hasn't had any new reports of fires recently. So that's good. And let's see, have you found the updated email, or should I get that?
I have found it. I know I have it in here. Here it is. This is the one here that should be shared. There you go. And that was supposed to have been integrated in, but the wrong one got put in.
No problem. So as you can see, our original fire danger was moderate, and it's been for northern counties and low for southern, but now it's low all around. And then nothing from fisheries to report. I know they're on the call. If anything last minute comes in, they may want to comment on what I did include under water diversion, well field pumping issues. That is that NDC reported their release from the west branch, not the wet branch, but it's getting drier branch reservoir, is set at 75 CFS, and that's not far from the 50 CFS minimum required release. There has been a change to that recently. It just came through as we were talking as far as the release, and it was reduced from 75 to 50 CFS, which is the minimum release. And that was per DEEP request. And it's interesting, don't need to go into too much detail, but you know, at first read, you would think, well, there's less coming in and less going out of the reservoir. That's the reason why it's going down. But in this case, DEEP Fisheries requested that we start holding on to a bit of the water in reservoir and don't let it out for future planning because of some mitigating circumstances also downstream as far as increased flows coming in downstream. Always interesting to play that game. And if Bill wants to give any more details, feel free to chime in. Otherwise.
Yeah, for a minute.
Okay.
The story in the farming flows in the last 2 weeks is obviously the reservoir is going down. And on Monday, NDC terminated what's called the riparian release. Under contract, they're supposed to release a certain amount of water over the course of a year to the Farming River Power Company, which runs the power facilities at Rainbow Dam. Well, and that's kind of like a bonus for the river that keeps it a lot colder than it normally would be if we were just going with natural flow. Well, on Monday, they terminated it because they're getting concerned about the flows getting too low. I mean, the river, the Colebrook River Lake getting too, starting to get really low. And so at the same time, Deep Fisheries has a pool of 3.2 billion gallons that we can use when we need to in Colebrook River Lake. So we started releasing 25 CFS from that to keep it, the flow going down the river higher than 50 CFS, so it was up to 75. Then when we got rain last night, the Still River, which meets the West Branch Farmington in Riverton, not too far downstream from the West Branch Reservoir, spiked up to about 80 CFS. At that time, we decided to maybe close off our 25 CFS for a day or two to save money, because at 25 CFS, that's 1%, that's 0.5% of that 3.2 billion gallons each day. So that's where we are at the moment. We are now checking water temperatures, and we may end up adding those 25 CFS back to what MDC is putting out as far as the minimum release they're required to release. But I'm probably babbling, so I'll stop now. Any questions?
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, that explains it a little better. And the only other thing I wanted to talk about was that's new is Pomperog River flows in Southbury hit a trigger 7 CFS, and that's their final trigger out of three. That's a sure sign that river flow there in the Pomperog is going down, and that the flow management plan that was a partnership effort there has kicked in at their highest level. And basically asking, urging, requesting, highly recommending people to conserve in the watershed. That's it.
Great. And I see a question for Bill Foreman.
Yep.
There you go.
In the chat box?
No, raising his hand. There he goes.
Okay. I don't know if he intended to do that. Bill, do you have a question?
Oh, no. Sorry. I raised my hand about 4 minutes ago.
Oh, sorry. It just popped up. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Okay. Terrific.
Sorry.
Any other questions there for that?
I just want to make note of the chat box that Helene Hochholzer from Forestry has, you know, and Doug already covered this, but she had to leave and she wanted to make it known that no new reports of fires as of late. There's still concern for ground fires if any ignition does happen, and fire danger is low at the moment due to recent rain.
Great, thanks. Do we have any other presentations, Eric, or is that all of them?
We have one more. Okay. I'll ask DPH to just give an overview of groundwater data. Steve?
I'm giving an overview of groundwater data?
I mean, sorry, reservoir data, sorry. Too much in front of me.
You're awake.
That's okay, Eric. So things have gotten a little bit, I would say, worse. About 3 weeks ago, we had about 12 systems that were, you know, at or about above normal. We're down to about 5 systems that are at or above normal. So that's a pretty significant change. It was sort of half and half of 3 weeks ago, 17 above and 17 below. The percent full for the whole state is about 75%, and last week it was just over, it was 76.7% full. This week it's 89% of normal, where the previous week it was just under 91% of normal. And there's been sort of a change in the distribution of what these systems are looking like as below normal. You know, 14 systems are, you know, still within that 10% of normal. But then we've started to get more and more of a decline. Southington right now is at 45% of normal, and that's the one little one. So it's definitely changed. There was a few upticks that were kind of nice. If you go down to the table, Eric.
Sure.
So, you know, the aquarium main system had a slight uptick in what their capacity was. Also in the Chester system and Mystic, which Mystic changes kind of quickly. They drain a little quick, but then they also, when they have rain, they you know, get it much more of a response in the reservoirs from rain. So a couple of changes as far as drought stages. So Bristol has gone into stage 2, and they are asking for mandatory restrictions. So they're doing a two, like, all odd and even watering schedule. Rob Longo today said he's seen about a 15% decrease in the water use. So I thought that was pretty good. I think people had gotten the message and were, and I think the rain has helped too, because there was quite a bit of rain here in Bristol. One of the other changes was this morning I received an email from Alan Huth, who is with SNU, South Norwalk Electric and Water. And we had a meeting with them and the First District and the mayor's office on Monday. They had considered, you know, they described what their situation was for both systems and asked the mayor to enact the water restriction ordinance. That's part of Norwalk's ordinances. And he needed to declare an emergency in order to do that. He declared the emergency, I believe, this morning. And the water restriction ordinance goes into effect this weekend. So they will now be on mandatory restrictions in Norwalk as a whole. So two systems. So, but and again, New Britain is approaching a trigger level. They usually buy, the last time this happened, they bought water from MDC. But back to Norwalk, they said that they are a little bit better than the 2016 drought. But, you know, within a few weeks, First District will probably hit, if the water restrictions don't work, they'll hit their second drought trigger, and SNU will hit their first drought trigger within a few weeks if nothing changes. So. And that's it, unless anyone has any questions. Oh, and Eric, would it be more helpful to do this by county, like having you give you like totals by county?
Well, I was going to save that conversation for when it was appropriate, but I think absolutely, Steve. I think that we've really sort of adopted as the default regions by which we're making declarations, we've adopted the counties, and really it, for numerous reasons, it makes sense. So anything that the agencies can do to boil down the data to a county level so that we can look at it, not just statewide or individual or by individual systems or individual data points, but also aggregate by county. That's extremely helpful, and that's actually why for the reservoirs row in the stage two trigger table, I have just a block across it referred to DPH report, because it's very difficult to break down the status of water systems by county.
Agreed. So yeah, I can do that fairly easily. That's not a big deal. And I agree with you. When I look at that chart that you developed, I think that's a good chart. It gives you sort of this nice overview. And I don't like seeing that DPH's numbers aren't there. It makes it much more difficult to see the full picture. So
right. And it is challenging because, as I said at the beginning of the meeting, you know, take Fairfield County, for instance, and almost every other drought indicator is, you know, not existent or, you know, close to normal conditions except for reservoir levels, which is very interesting. It's a fascinating phenomenon to see Fairfield be so normal in every other way, but the reservoirs are not. That's sort of a red flag to me. But yeah, that shows that there's a usage problem in addition to a supply problem, or more of one than the other.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there are, in some cases, extenuating circumstances where First District normally would switch over to their wells. They have five wells, and then, you know, use the reservoir much less, basically cut their usage of the reservoir by half. And three of the five wells can't be used. Two have issues with PFAS, and the other one has another contaminant issue. I think it's a metal. And so they're not able to use it. So then they're down to two wells. So now they're in a position where they, you know, have to start asking for restrictions through the ordinance.
And also, this is Doug, as far as Aquarian's reservoirs, Greenwich, Stamford, they're small with small watersheds.
Yeah.
So they're more flashy and will respond sooner to precip.
Yeah. But that's it.
Okay, great. Any questions? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, was that all the presentations then?
I think that's it, Martin.
Okay. Only one thing I'd like to just ask. It's not part of kind of, well, it's overall part of this, but I know we kind of missed it earlier just in our review here. Municipal water coordinators, Bob Kenny, can you give us an update on where we're at with those?
Sure, Martin. Sure, Martin. Thank you. And I had some conversation with Eric earlier, too. So we have a hard number of 91 collected so far, and that was without any information from Region 3. I did reach out to CROG, who the Region 3 coordinator had asked to compile the data. The one person that usually does that happens to be out right now, but she was able to let me know that there's about 10 names on that list so far. So we are at about 101, and CROG is pushing hard to get the balance of Region 3. Region 4 is another one that the Region 4 coordinator, Mike Caplet, is working with both COGS, Council of Governments there to help get those names in. We're about 13 of 44 towns in Region 4. So going by Demis regions, Region 1 is 14 of 14. Region 2 is 30 of 30. Region 3 is 10 of, I think it's 34. Region 4 is 13 of 44, and Region 5 is 32 of 43. So we're getting there. My math is probably not right. I think Region 3 might be off by a couple numbers there. But we are making forward movement every week, so we hope to have all of these names in relatively soon. And we did utilize that those distribution lists that we're creating to send out the press release the other day. And as such, Norwalk, just as a point of information, too, I know that Eric spoke about Norwalk, the importance of our offices will also transmit any information like that to the emergency management directors as well as the chief elected officials in the community, any announcements that go out. And as a, just as an example, the Norwalk emergency management deputy director did notify this office that Norwalk was elevating to a water emergency this week. So the communications is ongoing every day, and whatever the topic of the day is, we find out about. So that's, it's good to share this information, not just with the water coordinators, but with our regular contacts at the town, at the municipal level.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate all you guys are doing to help us, you know, get all those names in and everything. Thank you. Yeah,
we'll keep driving it.
Thank you. And if need be, I'll give Mike Kaplow a call. I know him from a long time ago. terrific. Is there any other items that we need to review regarding the conditions that anyone else has that we missed? Anything else someone needs to bring up in that, in those categories under item 4? Okay. So our next item then is item 5, which is we recommend a course of action in accordance with the state drought plan, whether we maintain or modify current drought stage conditions for each county. And then obviously, if we do make any modifications, we've got to review our next steps. Eric, it may be helpful. Can we put that the summary table back up?
Sure.
I think that might be helpful as we're at this point now, kind of to review again that chart. And be open to people's thoughts on where we stand, hearing the information that we did today, seeing where we are with this chart. As we remember, stage 2 is our northern counties, Hartford, Litchfield, Tallinn, and Windham right now. The rest of the state is on stage 1, kind of split in half, if you will, between the northern and the southern. So looking at any changes that anyone sees that, you know, has made us move to a stage 3 for any of those counties, or to maintain where we're at and continue monitoring. So open for discussion, thoughts on any of that from anybody?
Hello, this is Doug Glowacki from Demis. My thought is, with wetter weather maybe approaching, we probably don't want to upgrade anything. And as far as I see, for consistency purposes, I recommend leaving the four counties at stage two in northern Connecticut and leaving the southern counties where they are too.
Thanks, Doug. Other agencies want to chime in?
Yeah, Doug Hoskins from DFAT.
Thanks. Appreciate clarifying which Doug, even though I can see on the screen which ones are talking. But
yeah, you know, this is just from a visual perspective and some data. I'm having a hard time mashing the data, even though Eric's excellent job putting the table together. But visually, when I'm seeing particularly the U.S. drought monitor, getting into the southern, the southeastern portion of the state. And just wondering about the possibility of putting New London into the stage two basket. Up for discussion.
Okay.
And to Doug's point there, I think New London, if we go back to the precipitation numbers, let me just pull those back up real quick.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
I wish there was an easier way to switch between some of these things, but oops, that's the wrong one. Sorry. Let's go back here to conditions report. And one thing that really stuck out to me was the latest totals for New London and precipitation, you know, in this column here for the 1 month, really has lagged behind the rest of the state in terms of the precipitation that fell. And if you recall, at the meeting before, I think it was the meeting before last, I think it was our early August meeting, there were some serious concerns discussed about the flash drought situation in New London County. That has since alleviated itself because luckily some rain has fell, but New London County in particular went through a significant period in August without receiving a drop of rain. And that's reflected in these numbers now.
Yeah.
Okay. Other discussions, other thoughts?
Yeah, Eric, if you scroll down, you could see where she does her summary. And she says, you know, counties meeting stage two criteria, she does include New London in that summary.
Right.
Around somewhere.
It's amazing. When you put all the reports together, it's 36. It's a 36-page document. But I think right here is where you're referring to, Steve.
And she indicates that it even meets the stage three criteria in New London and Middlesex. So.
Right. So it's always a balance that we have to strike between the long-range indicators, which sometimes can take a while to catch up, versus what has occurred as of late, you know, in the past several days, and what's coming in the future.
This is Doug again.
Yep.
Doug Wacky. What we have here, I think, is a balancing act. If we put London into stage two, using the same logic, we should probably pull Litchfield out of stage two. So, yeah, that's you know, food for thought. You know, if we leave everything alone, then we've got one county that maybe should be and one county that maybe shouldn't be in stage two at that point.
Yeah, and it'll be a quick change from, oh, we entered stage two to, okay, this isn't stage two. It just goes back to stage one, and now we're adding this. I don't like to be, like, flip-floppy. And I don't like it to be such a quick, like, oh, 2 weeks later, we're doing something more. But if the indicators show that we should, then, you know, maybe not worry about perception. But, you know, if the indicators say we should, then we should. So, but I'm okay with waiting a couple of weeks
And with the, you know, the forecast having, you know, a higher than normal probability for rain, we can see. But if it misses New London County, then, you know, we really should consider the next time we meet that we reevaluate whether we should change it or not.
The other thing that really stuck out to me was the veggie dry, which until recently, I mean, I've been skeptical of the significance of this indicator. It seemed to lag behind, you know, when we were experiencing, you know, this is August 9th here and right in the middle of the summer heat, even before August 9th, we were experiencing severely dry soil moisture and seeing some impacts, and it was slow to catch up. And then all of a sudden, as Steve Anderson noted, August 16th, here it is. It's expanding further with more pre-drought stress and moderate droughts, especially in Litchfield and New London. And then you get to late August, August 23rd and August 30th, and you see this indicator really catch up. And interestingly enough, it really calls out New London County. To Doug's point, and here's the latest one on August 30th, this particular indicator really calls out New London County as an area of concern for short-term dryness. With recent precipitation, maybe not so much. We already are 4 days past this August 30th map, but just pointing that out again.
Yeah, that's something we really didn't discuss. This is Doug Hoskins, the rainfall from yesterday.
And I can just really quickly pull up the Cocoa Ross map. I already have it up. If I didn't, here it is right here. This is the Cocoa Ross data that came in this morning about 7 a.m. on the 3rd, which is today. You see, New London County did get some precipitation. It's sort of scattered. I mean, it's really is convection pop-up, you know, areas where it was very heavy rain, heavy rain for, you know, extended duration, and other areas kind of missed out a little bit. But for the most part, everywhere got at least a quarter of an inch, maybe a little less than a quarter, but a quarter of an inch plus for a lot of areas, a lot of sites on this map.
Hi, this is Bruce. Getting back to the question of putting New London County in and potentially taking Litchfield County out, I would recommend that not just for this particular decision, but looking long term, we want to really try to avoid making those kind of bang-bang decisions. And I think Rhode Island, as far as I know, unless they've had their September drought meeting, still doesn't have any drought whatsoever. And what's going on in New London County is kind of the periphery of drier conditions in Rhode Island. And I'm not saying that we should follow their model, but it shows there are different ways to approach this. And I believe the previous drought plan called for changes only to be made monthly at most, because it's easy to pull the trigger too quickly on these things. And so my suggestion is not to make any changes today. And since we have another meeting in 2 weeks, let's see how things look then. I no longer believe Doug Glowacki's long-range precipitation forecasts because, and I know that it's not just Doug. We've had, what, 3 tropical storms within shouting distance this summer and somehow managed to miss everything. So I no longer believe in any rain that isn't falling at the time.
Yeah, the tornado brought more rain than the tropical storms.
Right, yes.
Hey, this is Joe from National Weather Service. Just speaking for Rhode Island, they've been doing their state briefings, and they're having a meeting next Thursday, actually a week from today, to go over everything. But as of now, there are no declarations in Rhode Island. So I don't know if that enters into your decisions or not.
And Massachusetts, this is Eric Lindquist. Joe, you want to mute yourself? Thanks. Massachusetts is, they had their meeting today at 1 o'clock. It was scheduled an hour before ours, their drought management task force. That's the first time they've met in a month. They've been sticking with monthly meetings. Last month, they decided to move the entire state to stage two. They have a four-stage drought plan, and they're in the second stage of their four stages statewide. And we'll see what that state, Massachusetts, does following their meeting that they had this afternoon.
And Eric, what is their stage two? What is that equivalent to ours?
It's difficult to say. I mean, their stage two they call a significant drought. So you know that's the vocabulary, the adjective that they go by is, you know, when they're in stage two, they're advertising significant drought as declared by the state. I don't know their drought indicators by heart. They don't exactly match up with ours, so it's difficult to say what it equates to. But it probably corresponds closer to a stage three. You know, somewhere in between a two and a three for our plan. So they are a little more progressive than us in terms of throwing out those declarations for those advanced stages.
Okay. And I would say this is Martin. I would just say.
Hi, this is Maria. I'm just listening to everything. I think we should leave everything the way as it is for the next 2 weeks. And if we get a good amount of rain next week, we should be okay. But I would not change the declaration right now. That's my opinion.
Okay. Any other agencies want to chime in? We've heard a couple things. One, you know, a couple stating to leave everything, you know, as is. One recommendation to possibly move New London to a stage two. And I would suggest that if we were to move New London to stage two, it's not to change Litchfield, you know, county, is to leave that the same and just be more of an addition if we were to, you know, opt for that at this current level here, rather than, you know, as we talked about, kind of flip-flopping around everything else, because I don't think there's been significant, you know, change there to, you know, constitute lowering it down for that there. But, you know, personally, I'm fine with leaving it, you know, for 2 weeks, continuing monitoring and see where we're at, unless there's, you know, strong desire of adding in New London County to stage two from everybody. But I haven't heard that yet from, you know, everyone.
Yeah, Doug Hoskins coming back in again. So thanks for the discussion on that, and I'll go with the consensus that I'm hearing. Appreciate it. So, yeah, status quo.
Okay. Thanks, Doug. Anyone else have any comments or anything? Because otherwise, by the sounds of it, from hearing from everybody, it's to maintain, you know, currently, so with no modifications. If anyone feels differently from that, speak up now. Okay. So that will be our plan, is to stay status quo for right now, and which then moves us on our agenda, unless anyone else has anything under number five they need to bring up. We've covered everything there. So item six is next meeting and schedule. We have been on every 2 weeks, which would put us, if I can get my mouse to work to the calendar, I'll be okay to tell you what the date is, which would be the 17th.
Martin, I'd like to suggest that we discuss the possibility of returning to a monthly meeting schedule. And I say this because as we come out of summertime now, the threat of really experiencing extreme heat and evapotranspiration and extreme degradation and short periods of time is decreasing. I think as fall approaches, I think our changes will be more gradual in nature. And I'm not sure if we need to maintain the two-week schedule, but I'm just suggesting that for discussion.
Okay, take thoughts on that. I mean, my thought would be for at least this month that we probably should have. Sorry, now we're getting an echo here. I'm not sure why. I'm not possibly having one more meeting just to see where we're at, you know, as September is still summer, and then go to monthly after that. But that's, you know, my thought process on it, but welcome, you know, other people's suggestions or comments.
This is Bruce, and it seemed to me that some of the people's acceptance for not elevating New London County was based on, well, we have precipitation coming in the next 2 weeks and that we would meet again at that time. And I think we probably should plan to meet in 2 weeks. If that's the 17th, the next 2 weeks after that would be October 1st. We should not plan to have a meeting on October 1st because it's too short of a time frame to get our monthly data in. So what I would suggest is we go ahead and plan to meet on the 17th as planned, and then plan to meet the second Thursday of October. And at that point, unless there are pressing matters, I think we could go ahead from that point on meeting on a monthly basis.
Yep,
hi, this is Maria
sense.
Again.
Yep,
I agree with Bruce, 100%. We should meet in 2 weeks and then have it monthly meetings. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? Okay, so we will plan a meeting for the 17th to review data and then go from there. Is there any other items need to be discussed?
Is that the same time on Thursday? I mean,
yeah,
17th?
Schedule it for the same time because I think that's convenient. Everybody kind of, you know, kind of a standard type meeting.
Good.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And so because it's the middle of a month, we won't have brand new data for all of our indicators, of course. So it'll be sort of, as we've done before, that interim mid-month meeting where agencies can send updates, but we probably won't have the extent of presentations on new reports like we do at the like we're able to at the beginning of the month. So I'll probably ask for an abbreviated updates for that meeting.
Yeah, that makes sense, Eric. Thanks. Okay. Well, if nobody has anything else to bring up, we can take a motion to adjourn at 3:20 p.m.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you. That was a second. All in favor? Terrific. Everyone have a great Labor Day weekend, and thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good weekend.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.